Welcome to the Reform Fringe, everybody. This is episode 2. Doug is still here in Tennessee, and we're having a blast. We've already had Mexican, which is the best way to start a trip.
And even if it's in Nashville.
Even if it's in Nashville. Nashville has some great, it's amazing food scene. So we're going to get to experience some of that. But anyways, Doug was in town for other reasons. And I said, man, you've got to come in and let's do a podcast together. So we get to hang out today. And Wednesday, this is already passed. So you'll be able to hear the podcast. But we're going to do an episode on the Giants for my church because I'm about ready to start Genesis.
There you go.
And I thought, well, if you being in town, you wrote a book on this, our church would really appreciate that. So that being said,
are they going to throw tomatoes at me or anything like that?
No.
Put me in the stocks?
No. More people are upset that they can't be here because I booked it so late. They're like, I wish I would have known he was coming. No, it'll be good. And but yeah, this is our second time in person with each other, but first time in person recording.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's way better than recording over the internet.
It's so definitely different.
It's definitely different. But what I love about our podcast, and this is kind of an intro into what we're going to be doing, is the nature of it's a conversation. So if you would like to be part of this conversation, there is an opportunity for you to do that. If you've ever wondered what it's like to sit around and ask Doug a question or hear me ramble, there's a place called Reform Fringe. This is, it houses so much. It's not just, some people describe it like a social media or a chat feature. It really isn't. It's its own little like online library where you can have Doug's books, my articles, your articles. We've done live Q&A events. We're going to do more. That's where you can participate in the podcast. We've asked for people to tell their stories before. We're looking forward to hearing for some of that. But it's a non-social media platform. So it's off of Facebook or any of those other places. It's our own platform. You just go to reformfringe.com. You can learn more about that. And we're pretty excited about it. It's been a lot of fun. It goes in waves like anything. Sometimes there's like 90 posts in a day. And then sometimes there's like one. It depends on
what's
happening.
But it is growing. I mean, we've got 150 people in there now.
It is
so
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That should tell you there's at least Doug's family and my family is getting, but there's at least 150 people who are trying to process this stuff.
Yeah.
The reason why we started it was you had had so many people come to you and be like, I am so refreshed to know that there is someone who's reformed and thinking about these things. I've got a whole slew of people in my church that are so thankful that we're processing this stuff. And so we said, well, why don't we put together, because you had how many pastors had contacted you? I had pastors contacting me. So believe it or not, that community is not built of just listeners. It's professors and pastors and theologians and missionaries. So it's a great, great community.
This particular episode might get us some more people in the fringe, but it might get us a lot less friends. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Or we
more fringe. Maybe that could be the title of the episode. More fringe, less friends.
That has happened, unfortunately, to both of us. Oh, man. All right. So, Doug, I want to approach this not as a clickbait. The title might come across that way. I don't know what we're going to title this.
Yeah.
We always title them afterwards. But I want to approach this as pastors, okay? I'm going to ask the question, then you and I will talk. If you know, actually, we do have a congregating here. Shout out to Caleb Condon. I don't know if your name wanted to be on here, but it's on here now. I can take it out later.
Mr. Snerdly.
Mr. Snerdly. he's here helping us out for the next few days. But no, if Caleb were to come up to you and say, or in me, and say, look, man, there's a lot of strange things going on in our world. I just showed you a Facebook video. AI is a commercial about dispensationalism. And what you said to me with your eyes wide open, these aren't real people.
So I had come across the video a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I think independently of you.
Sure.
And I just thought, okay, well, somebody's just having fun as a dispensationalist.
Sure.
In fact, I think it was somebody on the fringe that might have posted this.
That probably was.
Probably where it came from. And I didn't read any of it. I just was like, oh, okay, well, somebody's having a little bit of fun. And then you tell me it was created by AI. And I'm like, what? No, you're like, all those people are fake. They're not real people.
Yeah.
So the exponential level of how AI is now able to mimic and mock human beings and to be exactly what we are, that's pretty terrifying.
Yep. So before I dive into this, I want you guys to hear, if this is, someone may have shared this episode with you. It's your first time listening to the Reform Fringe. we're both pastors. Doug's been pastoring for over 20 years of the Reformed Baptist Church in Northern Colorado. You can go to DouglasVandoorn.com, learn more about him, or just go to ReformFringe.com. Both of our stuff is there. I've been a pastor in this local church for 7 years, but I've been pastoring for 20 years. I'm John Moffitt, pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. We want to have a conversation about things that are the untouchables in Christianity.
This is one of them.
This is one of them. But we want to do so as pastors, and I want you to hear that, because at the end of the day, this is fun. Doug and I, we have fun talking about certain things just because it's so strange, and our world is our world is a strange place. You think Narnia's got nothing on us, man. Lord of the Rings has got nothing on us. You open your eyes and you look with the sixth sense, go back to the last episode, they got nothing on us. We live in a strange world. And how do you process it? Well, how do you process it? So Doug, if Caleb walks up to you and goes, man, I hear a lot about aliens and abductions, and now there's this AI stuff that can predict, like, how do we know what's real? And if it is real, how do I even process this? What does the Bible teach me about this, and how should I think about it? And are these good? Are they bad? So I asked you about six questions. We're going to walk through all of these, but this is not your first rodeo. This is not the first time you've answered it. And I don't even know if you've ever put this on air before. Have you talked about aliens before?
I did, but we haven't uploaded that episode. We have one episode in the can for Giant Steps, and we haven't uploaded
it. Oh, well, this one might go out first.
Maybe it will.
All right. So let's start with, how do I think about aliens? Are they real or they're not real? How do I process?
Okay. So there's a more foundational question to me.
Sure.
Which is that I believe that we need to, as pastors, give people the permission to ask the questions in the first place.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Like, that's about the most important thing that I can say for the entire episode, because church is not a place where people feel free to be able to ask questions about aliens. Mm-hmm. Maybe some about AI, but most pastors aren't up on that.
Yeah.
They're talking about it. They might be using it, but they're not thinking philosophically about it. Nothing like that. But especially the alien stuff. I mean, it's something that, for whatever reason, like, it's been on my mind and heart for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because, you know, I tell you a story. When I first became a youth pastor, so this is 30 years ago, how old I am, took over this youth group. It was in North Denver.
So you started in ministry when you were 15?
Yeah, 12. I'm 38 now.
Sorry.
I'm 42, I guess.
Dad jokes.
North Denver, Baptist church, evangelical. None of the kids in the youth group came from the church families. For whatever reason.
One of those.
Yeah. For whatever reason, the families in the church, their kids wouldn't go to youth group.
Right.
So it was a bunch of non-Christian kids or kids that hadn't grown up in church or whatever. And within the first week, we had an Ouija board burning in a barbecue.
No way.
And I had just started hearing these stories. It was ghost stories and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Had a seventh grade girl who had been playing with a Ouija board with her friend, and heavy Roman Catholic family. Mm. And all of a sudden, this entity started showing up in her house. And it was kind of like a trickster demon, I guess, is what I would call it. Mm-hmm. So it would move stuff around. It would turn couches around. It threw the dog down the stairs. And this girl would just call me in the middle of the night, hysterical. Like, it's here. What do I do? I don't know what you do. I just got out of college. I was a business major. I don't know what you do.
Sure.
So that was kind of my first foray. We brought that conversation up to the kids. I'm telling you, John, this is 1994. Every one of those kids had some sort of a supernatural encounter story to tell. Now, it's kids. You know, you get two or three of them. Are kids going to start making stuff up? Probably some of them are.
Sure.
But it threw me for a loop. I was not expecting that. Mm. That was 30 years ago in a world that was pretty much pre-internet.
Yeah.
Okay, so AOL had just kind of come on. I don't think that we even had AOL chat rooms yet. No. So you couldn't even live chat to people. This was a different universe. Definitely none of these phones, you know, this kind of touch stuff.
Do you remember going through the checkout at the grocery store and all the ALAN discs were there? Do you remember this? So you could take them home for free and sign up. Do you remember this?
Oh, 100%. I still have some of those in my desk, probably. Yeah. You've got mail.
You've got mail, yeah.
So if that was the way that things were 30 years ago, how much more, given things like we just talked about, now there's a whole philosophy behind this that you could bring up. That's maybe for a different episode.
Sure.
Just thinking about the technologies that we're using,
sure,
from a Christian perspective, what are they doing to us? Mm-hmm. What, you know, there's huge things that we need to talk about, I think, in upcoming shows.
Sure.
But the larger question that you asked was about aliens, and that stuff didn't come up. Okay, so it was more supernatural, demonic stuff, ghost stories, right, that kind of stuff. But I think that the alien thing, which has become exponentially popular in our culture
and accepted now,
since then.
And accepted.
Oh, yeah. Like, the entire ethos of the way that people think about E.T. is 180 degrees different than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, like guys like Rogan, who arguably probably has one of the largest podcasts in the world, is talking about it like it's normal.
Well, we have had congressional hearings where we have had public testimony, right, from people in our military saying that they work on these craft.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to do something with that. That kind of stuff had never come out, you know, prior to even really, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. I can remember there's probably my favorite UFO researcher is a guy named Richard Dolan. And not a Christian, but fascinating and such a good researcher. And he came out. He's the guy who actually coined the whole idea of a breakaway civilization. I don't know if you've heard of this idea, but it's this idea that and the other word is disclosure. Mm-hmm. So breakaway civilization is this idea that there's a whole world full of extremely hyper wealthy, powerful people, mm-hmm, that have created a civilization that if we saw what they were doing, it would look to us like E.T. They're so different from us.
Right.
Okay. And then simultaneous, he's been talking about what would it look like when a culture finally gives disclosure for actual E.T. So he over the course of 25 years of research, deeply believes that E.T. is real and physical. One of the knee-jerk things that too many Christians do when it comes to this topic is they're not reading literature. They have no idea the millions of stories, independent stories, about abductions and stuff like this that are very physical.
Right.
Of craft that people have worked on. And you know, they tell these stories and they're similar stories and it's physical. And if we talk about this subject at all we will go to is the supernatural and maybe demonic. So I wanted to bring up this is like about the only Christian book I know of that's even tried to deal with the subject. Mm-hmm. It's called Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. And it was written by Hugh Ross and Ken Samples and Mark Clark. So Ken Samples and Hugh Ross, really good chapters.
Sure.
Mark Clark, not as good chapters, but they only let him write two of them. It's a very interesting take, but you know what? At the end of the day, even they are at the point where they're like, yeah, whatever E.T. is, and they'll acknowledge that there's some sort of reality to it. It is entirely demonic and supernatural and not physical, only spiritual.
Interesting.
And so, you know, somebody comes and wants to know about an alien abduction that they had or their uncle had or whatever. And it's like, first thing we need to do is let them tell their story.
Yeah.
Second thing we need to do is to have thought at least a little bit about what it could possibly be.
Sure.
And then, of course, you obviously have to move into the theological realm and try and unpack some of the questions that especially there's a handful of questions that people bring up immediately that are knee-jerk questions. Like, well, if this is real, then, and probably my favorite one is, well, gee, if there's really a E.T. out there, then it makes Jesus' death on the cross pointless. This mm-hmm. kind of like, I don't mm-hmm. even understand where that question's coming from, but I hear it all the time.
Sure.
So, you know, this is a deep topic that because so few people are thinking about from a Christian, especially conservative perspective, you need to walk really slowly.
Yeah. Well,
those are my initial thoughts.
Yeah. Look, the way I have had to process this in the last few years of my life, let me back up. So my dad was a independent fundamental Baptist. So grew up very conservative, fundamentalism world, fighting for the faith kind of a thing. Yet we were heavily involved in New Mexico on the reservations with the Indians. We would go out there.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. And as I got older, my dad would tell me strange stories, stuff that happened there. Then the kids that I ran around with, they would tell me stories, things that, you know, it sounds like I'm watching Y-Files, you know, just weird stories about all kinds of dog-eyed, dog-men,
yeah,
just crazy stuff. And a lot of drugs that go on in those places. And then my dad started getting involved with a girls' home down in Mexico. And he got called down there because there were some all weird, like, demonic stuff going on. Like, little girls throwing men across the room, speaking in languages they... Yeah, my dad's telling me this story. So, yeah. As a little kid, I would say, you know, young teenager, I would hear stories. And I'm like, I would ask him, "What do you think about that?" He goes, "I don't know." That's what he'd tell me. He goes, I don't know. You know, he didn't grow up in a world where that was a thing either. So
that's a better answer than a lot of Christians give. Yeah. I'll just say that.
Yeah. He would just tell me, he goes, "I don't know." He goes, I just preached the gospel to them. Yeah. That's all I need. That's all I knew to do.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any training in this. So that was always in the back of my mind that my dad took that approach. Fast forward. And, you know, I start thinking and processing through this and started opening up the conversation. And I start having guys in my back porch who are starting to tell me stories. And the stories are getting wilder and wilder. And these are men I love and respect. And these are guys who I don't want to use their story or their name because they don't want it on the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is there's all these stories that people have never told a single person.
Right.
And they're in your church and you have no idea they're in your church and they're Christians. And they have had real experiences of one form or another.
Yep.
It's up to us to try and help them figure out what it was.
Sure.
I'm not going to say they're all the same in every instance.
Sure.
But they need to have a place where they can process this.
Sure. Right. And so when I think about what the Bible does, okay, so I know that people have already shut me off. I've already got texts and we're 18 minutes in. I've already got texts. I've already got emails. I know. But before you send that text, before you send that email, just listen to me for a moment. Does the Bible tell us everything we need, everything we could ever possibly know about how our world works, Doug?
No, it's an abuse of sola scriptura.
That's right.
We've talked about that before.
It doesn't tell us, it doesn't even actually explain, I don't mean to be crude, but it doesn't explain the anatomy of sexuality. It doesn't. There's nowhere in the text that tells you how sexuality works. Did you ever think about that? You got to learn that outside by human nature.
Yep.
Observation. It doesn't tell you what a donkey is either, but it tells you donkeys talk. At least one did.
At least one did.
It doesn't tell you what a horse is. It doesn't tell you what a lot of things are. You have to learn that by experience outside of the text. And then you bring it into the text.
Right? Yeah.
And that's where sometimes we have to correct our view because there's ancient things that we assume about a text. And we learn that's not how they viewed it. It's not how it works. Not what it was. Doug, the same thing is true about the spiritual realm. We assume the Bible has told us everything that is there is to know. And that we should know about the text. That's ridiculous. That's like saying, you know, you can't embrace, be involved with, or use anything the Bible doesn't mention in the physical realm. Therefore, you can't do it in the spiritual realm either. We wouldn't do that in the physical realm. Why are we doing it in the spiritual realm? Here's my argument I'm making. The Bible gives us everything, enough knowledge to do what we're supposed to do and believe what we're supposed to believe, to keep us on the straight path. It gives us all the knowledge we need. It does not give us all the knowledge.
Right.
You tracking with me?
100%. 100%. I mean, yeah, my mind goes to the first chapter of the Confession of Faith and what sola scriptura actually is and what it isn't. And we have all things that we need for life and faith and godliness. We have everything we need to know about the gospel, about God, his righteousness, his holiness, how we've fallen short, how he's provided a way for our redemption.
That's right.
And how he wants us to live lives in light of that.
Now, that doesn't mean, like, I love this, how, you know, people will say, you know, this particular thing isn't in the Bible, so I can do it. You know, put whatever you want in there. You know, the Bible never says you can't marry a rock, so I can marry a rock. You know what I mean? It's like ridiculous. Therefore, this can happen in the spiritual realm. Well, because the Bible never mentions it, therefore, one, it doesn't exist. Or number two, it's a demon. Those are simply the two. It seems like that's our interpretive model.
Yeah, so there's two things going on here. There's first of all, there's a truncation of the supernatural realm into basically there's God, there's angels, and there's demons, which are fallen angels, and that's it. That's all there is.
That's it. And it seems like there's like a handful of them, and that's it.
Right. And the Bible gives you a host of heaven. There's a host of heaven. And that isn't just talking about numbers. It's also talking about, I believe, the different kinds of creatures that there are.
Sure.
So that's one thing. But there's another thing, which is that, and maybe we could talk about this for a minute, go to some dangerous places if we want to, but there's a predisposition that Christians have of thinking about other physical creatures in our universe, not just the supernatural world, but the physical world. Like, that couldn't be, because God made earth and he made man on the earth. And that's the only thing that he ever cared about was the earth. In all of the entire universe, we're the only special place in all of creation. And we're the center of everything that he did. Okay, I get why we do that.
Sure.
But at the same time, if there actually are other entities, whether they're supernatural or physical or maybe some combination of both or traveling between, I don't know how this is working. But if they're actually real and we don't have a worldview that it can accommodate it, then woe to us, because reality is what reality is, John. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't create reality by denying its existence. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you have to, this is where you have to kind of play games in your head. If somebody actually had a real abduction experience in a physical alien spaceship, then it either happened or it didn't.
Right.
Okay. If your default is it's not possible for it to happen, then you can't even have a discussion about it. It's not necessarily true that it did happen.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, if you don't even have the categories in your head, and especially theological, to be able to make sense of how it could actually be that maybe there are physical creatures that came and took your aunt away 50 different times in the last year, then how can you ever be honest about it with other people that are having honest questions? And again, that kind of gets back to my deeper concern, which is that there are so many people that have these stories that they're not telling you about because they're absolutely terrified that they're not allowed to have this conversation.
Oh, they'll be rejected. They'll be made fun of. They'll think they're loony. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with them. They want to be on an outcast. You know, that all of those.
It bothers me, John, because this is a kind of outcast in our culture.
Yeah.
You know, when I first found the thing that attracted me to Dr. Heiser, the very first thing was I found out that he was going to Roswell, New Mexico to give UFO conferences and biblical scholarship.
Yeah, I remember
that. And I'm like, man, that's like a lost people group. That's like those are the down and outers of our culture. Those are pariahs. You don't have anything to do with those kinds of people. They're completely crazy. I don't think that they necessarily are crazy, but that's the way our culture treats them. And I don't think the church should be doing that.
No. No, and I think that they could have help, you know, where they could get a comfort from a shepherd who literally can say, which I say, Doug, about the physical realm, you know, I've never experienced that. I've never personally been taken advantage of physically.
Yeah.
And I can say that to a human being saying, I don't understand that, but let me love on you and give you comfort. I don't know what happened to you. as far as like an experiential thing, whatever you experience, I can't necessarily speak into that.
Right.
I don't know anything.
And we don't have to have all the answers. And that, again, so we're two pastors talking, right?
That's right.
And we're trying to, unpack this for people pastorally. And I think that this, you know, we can think about some of the bigger questions, you know, get into those in the rest of the podcast. But to me, this is the issue.
That's right.
It's how do you love people that have stories and experiences that you don't have, that you may not even have an explanation for, if you're not even willing to let them tell you about their story?
That's right. Yeah. Can you imagine all of these people that were afflicted by demons? It's weird how you have demon possessed people and then people afflicted by demons. Remember this in the New Testament?
Mm-hmm.
And how Jesus treated them, right? He treated them with compassion, and he obviously he helped them, and so the disciples. And there's no way that all the disciples fully understood everything that was going on in those situations, other than this isn't right. There's something that's wrong. And I am making observations from the text that aren't, you know, these are weird situations.
Yeah.
What I want to happen is this. Doug and I are not equipped nor trained. This is not our field per se. I didn't go to seminary to be trained in ufology or any of this kind of stuff.
You didn't?
Nope.
Well, what seminary did you go to?
Exactly. I did angelology and Christology. I can do that.
Well, I don't think we even had angel.
No, I didn't. Not at all. So I am not, you know, if you're here to have Doug and I tell you exactly what's happening in our world, wrong podcast. Sorry.
I can give you some thoughts I've had, but that's about what it is.
Yeah. But what I want to happen is this. I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you this. It's far crazier than whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
I will tell you it's probably crazy.
Yeah.
And whatever you've drawn your conclusions to be, let's say it's demons. Let's say all aliens are demons. You have no idea the Pandora's box you just opened. Because those critters, along with fallen angels, can do some wild, wild things.
Now, why did you say demons and fallen angels? Because that will bother some people right there. Because most people think demons are fallen angels.
Well, the Bible never says that. We make that jump, right?
That's a medieval jump. It's a medieval church thing.
That's a medieval jump. You never really hear of any stories in scripture or indication that angels are taking on a body of another human. You just don't. This is not in the text.
Right.
Right. What you do see are spirits known as demons, or they're also called evil spirits.
Unclean spirits is even better. Unclean
spirits is how they're described. Unclean meaning that there is an inappropriate match. Right. So in the Old Testament, anything that was connected, that which was holy and that which is unholy, it became unholy or unclean.
Right.
And so Jesus describes them as unclean spirits. They had an unclean spirit in them, meaning that this spirit came from an unholy matrimony, or it came from an unholy connection. And, you know, this is not a podcast on it, and you don't have to believe this. I'm okay with it. If you want to say that the fallen angels are demons, fine. But the historical perspective has been that these are actual spirits from dead giants. These are the spirits of the dead giants. And that might be a shocker for you. Please go back and listen to our episode on demons. We did a full unpack of that. That's why I said that.
Right.
But the reason I say it this way is that what you see happening with angels, these fallen messengers, these fallen created beings, what you see happening in demons seems to be very different.
Yeah.
They're very different.
So let me let's use angels and demons for a minute. To unpack different kind of UFO phenomenon for a minute.
You're reading my mind.
Okay, so you've got...
that's a joke, guys. Listeners, it was a joke.
This guy. You've got kind of, I guess, spiritual phenomena.
Yep.
Light phenomenon. Mm. People seeing lights, orbs.
Sure.
They're intangible. There doesn't seem to be a physicality to them.
Right.
They will disappear. They will do impossible maneuvers, this kind of stuff.
By military observation. Yep,
yeah. By the way that we observe the universe and what we understand.
Now, what I'm saying is this is by military observation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Ufologists.
Yeah. Yeah, the military actually saying these things.
Exactly.
Okay, so if it's a in my mind, this is the way I try to parse it out. I don't know if I'm right or not. But in my mind, if it's a light kind of a thing, an ethereal kind of a thing, it's not physical, it's not tangible, then I kind of lean towards that could be a demonic manifestation of some kind.
Sure.
Because that to me is a kind of a one-to-one.
Right. An unseen realm manifestation.
Yes, an unseen realm manifestation. Now, you got to be careful there.
Demonic gets thrown into all kinds of things.
Well, yeah. Right. So it's a non-physical,
sure,
supernatural manifestation. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
It could be more than demonic, but it's at least demonic. I don't have a problem with that.
Sure.
And I think that there's probably an awful lot of phenomenon that are that people are seeing.
Sure.
Okay. Now, there's probably also a lot of stuff, and it's probably the vast majority of sightings actually have perfectly explainable things that there's nothing weird about it at all.
Like I took a Benadryl right before I went to bed. I was telling you a story at lunch. I had a quite weird experience the other night, and I know for a fact it was Benadryl that caused it.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be some sort of a drug induced, even if it's a legal drug, you sure. know, thing. It could be you didn't properly contextualize where you were at and what you were seeing. It could be some sort of a
very,
you
know, Sherlock Holmes view. Yeah, like, hey, let's
exactly.
investigate.
So, sure. And I have no problem with going that direction first to try and, you know, see if there's an explanation that we can have that doesn't make sense of it. But everybody, and that's what even Ross and Samples in their book, they're like, there are a small percentage of things out there that we have no explanation for.
Sure.
And I would say probably we have a little bit more than a small percentage. Yeah. We have an awful lot that we are not willing to listen to people.
The Bible is not silent.
Okay. So there's the physical demonic component, and whether it's demons or some supernatural non-physical manifestation, that's fine. Sure. I think that's a category of things that could be there.
Sure.
There's another category, man, that really bothers me because it's physical. It's tangible. There are spacecraft made of things that we don't know what they're made of. We're trying to reverse engineer them. I mean, I'll just be honest. First, do you remember the first time you ever saw a commercial for one of these things?
I was working for Apple. I sold the first iPhone.
Dude, these things freaked me out. Yeah. Maybe it's just only the Gen Xers are ever going to understand what sure. it's like to move from a world with no internet, to chat rooms, to cell phones, to touching screens and movies. Like, this is not right.
That's right.
This is not normal. And I, you know, first thing that comes to my mind is, where did we get that technology from?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't even thinking about UFO stuff at that sure. point in time, but you go and you listen to Bob Lazar give his testimony on a Rogan show. I listened to that like 3 or 4 times. And mm-hmm. it's like, this guy has no motive to lie. He never did. He lost everything that he had because of the story. And it's like, what do you do with that?
Sure.
And it's not just him. Like there is a physical component to this that Christians are not, they're not dealing with.
Sure.
And it bothers me. And I think that there's at least one way that we can think about that, biblically
sure.
speaking.
Sure.
And that's through fallen angels.
Yes.
I can remember, you know, one of the main arguments that I heard with the Genesis 6 thing that angels couldn't do this with women is because they're spiritual beings. They're not physical beings. And I'm like, what Bible are you reading? Hank Hanegraaff literally has that in his Bible answer book.
Crazy.
I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be Mr.
It's
Apologist.
The dominant view, though.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got angels coming to Abraham and he washes their feet, and they have a meal together and they walk inside of a tent and Sarah overhears their conversation. There's nothing disembodied about that, John.
No. Well, the entire city of Sodom and Gomorrah acknowledged their physical appearance.
They wanted them to come out of the room so that they could do things to them.
That's right.
I mean, it's like, okay, so if there are entities that somehow are in the supernatural realm, however you think about that,
sure.
but can manifest here physically.
Right.
I guess I don't have a problem saying that these could be the explanation for at least some of the UFO things. And that, like, if somebody wanted to say, well, angels don't really have wings. Well, yeah, I know, because when Abraham saw these guys, they were men. They didn't have wings on their backs.
Yep.
How did they get from one place to another place? I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe they need a spaceship to do it. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, we know they're traveling. Two reasons we know they travel is Daniel is a great example. You know, in our mind, the spiritual realm, I think we give it too much credit. We almost make it godlike. Hear me out. Like, the spiritual realm knows everything, can go everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's not true at all. We know that. And there are times I don't think we give it enough power. In this area, I think we give it too much power. Like, you have the story of Daniel, where Daniel prays and 21 days later, this messenger shows up and says, hey, we got your prayer. Sorry for the delay.
We're having a fight and I couldn't get out of it. And I was stuck in that place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had to call Michael. And Michael had to come, to which then Michael shows up at the scene. Whole different podcast.
Yep.
Hilarious moment. He sees Michael and he passes out. We had a conversation about that. That was so funny. But you hear of traveling angels. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, straight up says, hey, be nice to everybody. You might actually entertain an angel.
Which means that they look exactly like us.
That's right. And the reason why he would say this is, from a cultural standpoint, we just forget. We're so modern. If you lived on the outskirts of a town, you got someone who just traveled 4 or 5 miles from the other town. You're the first house they come to. They're going to come for water. They're going to come for food. There are no restaurants. There are no hotels, right? So you could be entertaining, traveling. This is what he said.
Yeah.
He literally motivates them with, be nice to everybody. You actually might entertain an angel, which is a strange verse for me.
Yeah.
But go to the negative. Paul says that those who follow Satan have the capacity of Satan to appear as angels of light, like in the church, and people wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
And how do you identify them? By what they say and by what they do. First John says, test the spirits to see if they're of the Lord. So to say, and when you realize, Doug, that in the those who are in allegiance to God, they do have this sense of being phasing in and out. I'm just using that word, but appearing and not appearing. A great example is
The Sodom and Gomorrah story, where the angels are like, they're with Abraham, and the next thing you know, they're in Sodom. It's like, how did they get there?
Yeah. Well, not only that, you look at the Balaam story, where the donkey stopped because he could see the angel.
Yeah.
But he could not. Balaam didn't. And then it says God opened his eyes, and it wasn't that the thing appeared or the angel appeared. It's that Balaam couldn't see it. Then he could see it.
Right.
And the reason why I'm mentioning these things is that Satan is obviously a very powerful being, and a lot of those who fell along with him are also powerful beings. So it is very possible for there to be this exposure in the physical realm, and then we can't process it because it's not normal. And yet Paul's like, yeah, well, that's kind of what you're wrestling.
Yeah.
You're wrestling, and his solution isn't load up the guns, you know. Like, the mission doesn't change. We don't become alien hunters.
Right.
You know, we don't become, none of this changes. Like, the focus is still the same. Like, go to church, learn of Christ, whatever ends up happening, we're going to focus on our mission. Like, that part of our life doesn't change. But Doug, the reason why I want to mention this is that some people have such a bad experience and it's so foreign that it does pull them off of Christ and it pulls them off the mission. And if somebody would have sat down and put their hand around him and like, dude, that's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
But let me explain to you how that actually fits in our worldview.
Yeah, exactly.
And we need to stay focused on our mission. Because Satan wants you to start thinking about aliens instead of thinking about Jesus.
Yeah, they're not more powerful than God, whatever they are.
And they're going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
And that's what they want. They want you to be fascinated with whatever that is.
Especially if they're fallen angels.
Yeah.
Okay, so just kind of going back to the fallen angel thing, like, I think that that can explain some physical components of the alien phenomenon. And by the way,
so making a joke,
yeah.
Do you think the chariots of fire maybe just an explanation of like some kind of aircraft?
No, that's in Ezekiel 1.
Chariots of fire. I know they're angels.
I know. I don't know, man. I don't know. They're supernatural.
No, yeah. That's not an Ezekiel.
Vehicles. They're vehicles.
That's the Elijah.
No, I was making another joke. Oh, you didn't get it.
Yeah, I did. I did.
So the wheels within wheels, the like within any wheels. UFO yeah, conference, yeah, yeah. They're like, Ezekiel saw an alien spaceship.
I don't know what he saw.
I mean, ancient aliens like that. That's another reason why we should talk about this, because everybody's
number one show.
And no Christians want to deal with it.
No.
Anyway, we're totally going off the point. So I think that the angel component of this, and what I was going to say is, by the way, angels are not from here, mm-hmm. are they?
No.
Which would make them
aliens?
Sure. So do I believe
that's
in aliens?
That's what makes Jesus so powerful, because he's
yes.
not. Jesus is not an alien. This is what's so powerful.
He's
about
one of
he's
us.
One of us.
Right. But he came from somewhere else
that's
in
right.
order to be one of us. And then he was incarnated, and now he's one of us.
That's right.
Wild story, man.
Yeah.
So let me go a little bit deeper with this. Okay.
Okay. Let's go.
I just kind of open the door just a little bit more.
Bro, we're only 40 minutes in. Let's go.
Okay. So I think demons and angels can explain a lot of it, but I don't think they explain all of it.
No.
So according to the way people tell the stories, and I'm trying to remember, I can remember three of them. I don't know if I can remember the fourth, because I wasn't expecting to do this podcast before I came here.
I threw it on him at lunch.
when you listen to people talk about in ufology, the different races that are out there, mm-hmm. you will hear four different races that are brought up. You will hear gray aliens. It's a universal. Mm-hmm. Like everybody talks, and they all describe gray aliens the same way. Mm-hmm. Talk about those in a minute. You've got Nordics. Which are supposed to be like fairly tall, beautiful, white, basically like elves.
Right.
And they look just like us. The third group are what are called reptilians. I find them very fascinating because along with the Nordics, there's tremendous overlap in the way that people describe the Watchers mm-hmm. with how they describe both, to some degree, the Nordics and the lizard people, the right. reptilians, right?
Right.
So I think that's wild. Mm-hmm. So right there with those two groups, you could actually be talking about biblical angels, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Fallen, most likely.
Sure.
Grays, I don't think so. A lot of people think grays are like clones that demons inhabit their body or something. I don't know what they are. Heiser thought that they were little kids with progeria, which is that disease that causes people to age super rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually thought that the aliens that they found in the Roswell crash were those.
Hmm.
So I don't necessarily think that's true. He has some really interesting views on gray aliens. And then the fourth group, believe it or not, have you ever seen the name of the movie Starship Troopers?
Mm-mm.
Anybody who's seen Starship Troopers right now is going, you're not saying that true. So giant insectoids.
Okay.
Those are kind of the four groups that people talk about. And
sure.
like, I mean, giant like insects
sure.
that live under the earth and are super powerful, like, and have intelligence and
right.
do mind stuff on people, you know, whatever.
Oh, I have heard about this.
Like, yeah. this is weird stuff. Okay. So how would I make sense of that? Somebody said to me, you know, I was abducted and I met an sure. insectoid. I'd be like, okay, well, maybe here's how it could have been. So is it possible that a group of beings that have been around for thousands of years that did things with our women and created giants couldn't also genetically modify and tamper with existing things that already were here that God created and create other abominations such whether they're drone kind of things like a gray alien or whether it's an insectoid that they did. Like, why is that such an impossible thing for somebody to believe? Like, could God have made them? Maybe.
Sure.
And he just didn't tell us about it. Could they also be evil and maybe an evil creature modified something? We're doing that. We're human beings,
dude. What we're doing,
the
right
things
now
we're doing
scary.
Is yeah, it's Island Dr. Moreau stuff, and it's very real scary, and we
yeah.
have laws against these things because
yeah.
it's actually happening.
Yep.
So if we can do it, why in the world would we think that they can't?
Right.
So So like, those are just some of the ways that if somebody came to me and said they have a story, I want to listen to them. I want to say, is there any way that my worldview as a Christian can incorporate these things? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've tried to think, and I think the answer ultimately is, yeah, I think that it can. There's nothing in my theology that tells me that Jesus couldn't come here as a human being and died for human beings and nobody else.
Yeah.
Because he didn't die for dogs. Dogs exist. Right? He didn't die for hippopotamuses and they exist.
They exist, yeah. Well, angels.
He didn't die for angels. Angels long to look into these things because he didn't die for them.
And there's even elect angels.
So what in the world is it that logically is out there? I just can't wrap my mind around it. Why couldn't there be millions of creatures that are living in the galaxy that Jesus never died for?
Yeah.
Okay. In one way, that kind of makes man even greater because of all the fallen things that are out there, he said, I'm going to die for you.
And we tend to be the weakest of them all.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, those are just some of the ideas that I have. And
yeah. And listen, whether you're like Doug is off his rocker, I don't agree with anything he says. That's fine. All we're trying to do is saying, look, there's a lot going on. And we as pastors are sympathetic to it. That's all we're saying. Like, I there is a lot.
I'm saying a little more, which is that if you're a pastor and you think I'm off my rocker, that's fine. Sure. But if you have any number of people in your church at all, you have people in your church that have these stories and you're not willing to even hear them.
And it's growing, Doug, because through COVID and more that's happening in our government, they feel like we've been lied to for so long, right? So there's a physical governmental conspiracy going on in people's mind of like, I don't know if I can believe anything. Now you throw AI in the mix. That's terrifying. And then you throw in your own experiences, what you have in there. Honestly, Doug, it causes people to panic.
Well, and the whole idea of disclosure that I brought up earlier. Sure. So, you know, you can let your mind, it's not hard to let your mind go the direction of some sort of a conspiracy of disclosure that you could have disclosure come because actually the aliens came and they showed themselves. So like, you know, Satan, for whatever reason, wants to make himself known again. Sure. Like I could believe that could happen.
Absolutely.
But I could also believe that there's a lot of people out here there that want to fake this for all kinds of dastardly reasons. And if they do, what kind of an answer is the church going to have?
So.
And it's not just hypothetically either, like because like we're moving closer to this direction.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to use an illustration, but I don't think I can. I saw the new Mission Impossible.
I haven't seen it yet, so don't ruin it for me.
So I won't use this illustration. But the very problem you're describing is what Mission Impossible. Have you seen it? It's what Mission Impossible exposes. That super powerful things. People want to use it. And that's what the whole, I'm not ruining it for you, but that's what the whole mission is about. And I think he's exposing something.
Did you ever see V?
Oh, yeah. What was that about?
V was, I think this came out around 1984 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was the biggest miniseries in history.
Okay.
NBC had a countdown for like 100 days, only 94 days left to V. And it was this story of these aliens, kind of the first big production story that TV had ever done, certainly, maybe even movies. And these aliens come here and they're good and they land over all our cities. But it turns out they are reptilians who have come here to harvest human beings for food.
That's funny. No, going back to everything is about power and money and control, right? So there could become a moment where people are being controlled by powerful technology. I mean, look, we're being controlled.
This is not hypothetical.
I know. We like the amount of depression. Do you realize all of the major makers of technology, they don't let their children use it?
I know.
There's a reason because they know.
Yeah, we have the tech. We have the government telling us about these things. So whether they're lying to us or not, it is a reality that hadn't ever happened before.
That's right.
You have people sharing these stories increasingly, exponentially on podcasts. And Christians are doing it.
Sure.
And this is just like, it's one of the most relevant topics that you can have in a day where we are headed back like gangbusters to a pre-Christian pagan world.
Doug, if you don't believe in a supernatural gospel and you don't believe that the Bible has, as Paul says, the gospel is the power of God, and something weird like demonic happens to you, fallen angel, however you want to say it. Yeah. Let's just say demonic. We'll wrap it up in demonic. And it could be alien abduction. It could be an encounter. It could be a possession, whatever. It'll do two things to people, right? It'll cause them to run into secret despair or run after a solution that actually causes greater harm.
Ancient aliens.
Yep.
Which is exactly, bro, that's exactly it.
There is a story. There was an episode in Ancient Aliens. I've never had chills. And I don't mean this like, you know, I had like a supernatural experience. I had chills from what I realized. It gave me, like, my hair stood up on my arm. In this episode, they were talking about how guys like Tesla in their journals. Now, I say this and people get confused. Not Elon Musk, Nikola Tesla, and Albert Einstein in their journals. Flat out, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Flat out say that they've been in contact with entities,
yeah,
in other realms who gave them this knowledge.
Yeah.
This isn't like conspiracy, guys. This is fact, okay? The conclusion from Ancient Aliens was this. They were tapping into a greater universal database.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we will all, mm-hmm, figure out how to tap into this universal database. It sent chills over me.
Dude, it's a weird kind of almost like a Gnostic and New Age and atheist thing wrapped up in Ancient Aliens.
It's crazy.
It's you ever seen Prometheus?
Yeah.
The beginning of that show. And so they're basically talking about how alien, the alien creature came to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Ancient Aliens.
Right. So the reason I mentioned that is that at times it will sound more like technology or scientific. And all of a sudden, we just don't know what we're getting ourselves into. And before, all right, I'm just going to turn this back. I want to have this conversation for people who are searching. You're going to send this to a friend, you're going to send it to a relative, or you're listening, and you can't make up from down. This is what God never intended that to be your experience in relationship to Him, period. Number two. Whatever lost, whatever you feel like is dominating and controlling you, whatever this experience that you have and you can't seem to overcome it, this is what freedom in Christ sounds like. This is what we're talking about. It doesn't remove your past. It doesn't remove your experience. And it doesn't remove the evil. But when you're in Christ, the promise is this: nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ, right, Jesus. Your future with Him is secure. The power of Christ is greater. Greater is He that is in you, that is He that is in the world. That verse means nothing, Doug, if there isn't a you or the one that's in the world.
Right, exactly. I was just thinking the same thing. Like if there isn't one in the world, then who cares? And what if that one in the world isn't exactly what you might think it is, that's, and you're exactly not willing, right, to talk about it?
All of these verses apply to us because the greater mission is not necessarily to expose Bigfoot or to expose aliens or to, you know, like at the end of the day, I think I love some of my Christian brothers who are in this field, but man, it seems like they've lost their way. It's more about the cryptid nature of what our world is instead of Christ, right? What I love about our podcast is that I want to acknowledge it. I want people to feel free to have these conversations than say, but at the end of the day, there's nothing more fascinating than Jesus Christ, right? At the end of the day, you won't have joy the more of you learn about aliens. It might be fascinating, but it will not give you satisfaction, right, and joy.
Well, what we talked about last episode, the law being into itself,
sure,
covenants being into itself, the divine council being into itself. Same thing with aliens.
That's right. And I think that I want to open up a conversation to say, I don't know everything that's going on in our world. I don't know everything about the medical industry. I don't know everything about germ, you know, there's a lot I don't know. I don't have to know it all. The thing, right, I do need to know is Christ and Him crucified, and I can endure anything. And so if you're listening to this and you don't know how to process whatever it is that's going on, I hope you can hear Doug and I and say, this is why a church that preaches the supernatural nature of the gospel, that believes in the ordinary means of grace, and is willing to say and love and encourage you in these forms is life-changing. Because at the end of the day, Doug, I think I'm going to die knowing about a fraction of what this world actually is. I just remove the spiritual side of it, just from the physical side of it. I don't understand how a lot of stuff works.
Yeah.
But I do understand the gospel, and I do understand who Christ is, and I understand who he is for me. And then I understand how I actually am a war. I have a sword, and it does a lot of stuff. And that sword is called the word of God. And Jesus says, stand in the strength of the Lord. And that's what we're here to do. So listen, I guarantee we're going to talk about this more. We're probably going to get a lot of contact. If you want to contact us, the best way to do that, by the way, because we're getting contacted all over the place, go to reformfringe.com and fill out the contact form there. That would help us out.
Or join reformfringe.com and start talking to some other people that are thinking about the same things.
And have had, dude, I was at a conference recently and I had a guy walk up to me and tell me his experience. And I was like, I don't even know what to say to
them. Yeah, yeah.
Other than I love you. And are you in a good church? He goes, I am now.
And it's cool because when you get a community, then it's not just on one person.
Yeah.
To have to listen to all these things.
Sure.
You know, you go to a UFO conference and you're the main speaker, which I've never done. Yeah. But if you do, you are going to get every single person in that conference wanting to talk to you about what happened to them.
That's right.
Okay. So come to a place where you've got a whole bunch of people that are willing to listen to what your story is and to help you think through it.
Well, this is, you get the messages. I get the messages. When people hear our podcast or they find it, they're like, their minds are blown. Like, yeah. I am so thankful that somebody is talking about the Bible like this.
Yeah.
So look, this may have irritated some. Some of you may have thought we didn't go far enough. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Hey, look, I wanted to start the conversation. This isn't the last time we're going to talk about it. We have been mocked because, Doug, this is like our 50s. We're going on a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our something episode where, you know, I think this is the first time we've talked about aliens.
Yep, that's correct.
Whatever. Hey, we're super thankful for you. If you've been hurt or confused or you don't know what to do, you're not in church, I'd say start there. Number two, Fringe is a good place to come. We can help you find a church. And number three, with all your might and all your passion, cling on to Christ. He is the best guide for this. Just, I take that from the word of God. It's a pretty safe place to go.
So. Amen.
All right, Doug, anything else?
That's a good way to end it.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.